Let us be at prayer. The ash is not yet upon our head for this night, and yet upon our heart may there come a spirit of such openness to life as it is, to death as it must come, but gladly does our soul rejoice that your word come down. In Christ we ask this. Amen. I'm drawn to an idea set down by the Spanish philosopher Spinoza a long time ago. Some of you have heard me say this, teach it if you will. He said, any thought not interrupted by another thought becomes action. Whatever thought is not interrupted by another thought becomes action. This is a law. You can prove it. Hold your hand out. Hold your hand out like that. And now think the thought, will I close my hand? Shall I close my hand? And the simple fact is while you're looking at your hand, wondering whether you're going to close it or not, either you do, as long as you hold the thought, or you don't. The fact is that an interrupted thought is the interruption of action. Action and thought are the same thing. Now, knowing this, that all action is composed of thought held like a flame until it catches fire and becomes action. Well, knowing that all inaction is simply interruptions in action, in thought, that douse the flames of thought, knowing that doesn't exactly heal us. It's interesting, but we're going to go a little deeper with it today. It's not going to heal us as a bright idea because some thoughts are useless. Some are evil, and they should be interrupted. So it doesn't answer which should and which should not. It is, frankly, our awful power to focus on some things. We call that obsession, which have led us to some of our deepest remorse. We did things because we didn't pull thought away in time. But that only proves Spinoza's little rule. No action is the best action when interruption was the right thing to do. But sometimes no action is no help at all. Do you ever wonder why a committee never gets anything done? It's pretty easy to follow this one. Just watch the interruptions during a committee meeting and you'll have your answer. That's why nothing ever gets done. Look at that interruption called Washington, D.C. Of course, action follows from the thought held firmly. Sometimes our most grievous sorrows come from what we did not do. Sometimes it was the worst thing of all. We knew what was needed. We did not let the thought continue. We let interruptions come in. The hour of action was past. How true, like an arrow, is that great prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Spinoza's little rule is worth putting in your pocket like a stone. You can touch it. It is true. And so that prayer is true. It goes right to the target of our heart. But there's another, the reverse, which is equally true. We might pray, "Most gracious God, we thank thee, for thou hast given us the attention to think and then to choose what is good, and to guard our attention from thoughts that would yield bad fruit. Thank you. Amen." Now, since everything we call good depends upon good action, and since every good action depends upon thought well held, then in one sense our human predicament is very easy to describe. Not easy to live, but simple to describe. Either we are learning how to bring attention to our thoughts so that we may choose more freely to which to give life and which to let die, or we are so caught up in our thoughts and emotions, and in this sense, thoughts and emotions are the same thing, so caught up in these rolling thoughts and emotions that they have us, we don't have them, so caught up that we care not to use the gift God freely gives us, our humanity, but rather we charge ahead like hungry bears, taking what we want, running away from what we don't want, hungry for what the world has and afraid for what it doesn't have. It really is simple like that. Either we are growing spiritually or we are miserable. There really isn't a middle ground. So let it be said never more plainly, the whole world turns on attention. The whole world of good or evil turns on attention. Right? Attention is the blade that breaks through the hard ground of sin and systems of misery and mechanisms of fear and reactivity. Right attention is the plow blade of the Lord. Right attention is the gift of God. Indeed, God gives nothing except through attention. Whoever prays to God to give some good thing, but asks not for a new mind, for a new attention, by which to receive the gift of God, receives neither God nor the gift. The whole world turns on attention. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Beloved of the church, we think we almost know it by heart, and yet each year we come back, perhaps there is a new hearing. You know, if we knew the Lord's Sermon on the Mount by heart, we would all be free of misery. I mean this. If we knew the sermon by heart, we'd be free of misery and filled with charity. Perhaps the Lenten journey is best thought of as a renewed invitation. Now, another chance to learn attention, how to pay attention, to learn how to become more free, to live more free, to let go, as Christ Jesus did, more free to be who you are, brother and sister, to Jesus. It's simple in a way. Jesus' direction to his disciples is simple. It's discipline. One way and another, he says, pay attention. Think what you aim to do. Hold the flame of your aim, the thought of it. Choose it and do it. Just do it. Learn this relationship between attention and right action. If you're giving money away, he says, pay attention. Don't be thinking about whether somebody's watching and you've got the right amount figured out to show yourself in a certain way. Let your Father who sees in secret help you see your secret motivations, he says, so that you can purify your double-mindedness about money and come with pure heart. Stop, look, listen, more and more free of ulterior motives. Let go of the motives. Let go of money, he says. If you're fasting, pay attention. Let your Father who sees in secret help you see all the silly and stupid reasons to fast. Don't use them. Don't do it. It's not about hurting yourself. Choose your fast. That also comes from the prophet Isaiah. Choose from what you will withdraw your obsessive attention, your useless attention, and thus have the time to stop and look and listen to what really is. If you're in need, and you know you must pray, pay attention. Pay attention. Do not pray for things, Jesus says in this Sermon on the Mount. Do not pray for things. The Lord's Prayer does not offer one support when he says, pray this way. Not for things. Pray rather for a new mind. Every petition of the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for the attentive mind. Pray to be free of the debts and burdens of the past so that you may heal those whom you've cut freely. Pray for a spirit of courage to face tomorrow's trials tomorrow, not today. Come into the presence of God. Pray to be ready to receive today what is given today, be it night or light. Be ready for what is. Brother David Stendhal Rast offers this definition of prayer. Prayer is a quality of attention so focused on what is given that it appears as a gift. Again, prayer is a quality of attention so focused on whatever is given that it appears as a gift. To gain control of the attention is the sole aim of all spiritual disciplines. In the sincerity of the secret hour, may you enter upon the Lenten discipline under the sign of the ashes, asking God to send upon you the gift of attention, the flame of thought rightly held. This is the Lord's plow blade. It will overturn the crusted ground of fear and resistance and anxiety and death. And in that broken ground, God might sow the seed of life without end, but God. Amen.